read through. I'm trying to read every Sunday morning, try to read 1 Peter and then 2 Peter, read a chapter. And I was going to call on somebody to read it. Michael Shane read it last week. Who would like to read it this week? Anybody? I'll read it. You're going to count the money, so. All right. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2. You say, why do you do that so we can get more Bible? Let's get more Bible in this. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God's desire for you to grow. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, in whom coming, as on the lively stones, disallowed indeed of men, built or but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, talking about us, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, when you sing in all that kind of stuff, serving God. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. On the you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but on them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in the time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself, therefore, to the ordinance of men for the Lord's sake. That's what Brother Eddie was talking about this morning. Whether it be to the king as supreme, unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's the brotherhood of mercy. Servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only to do the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is a thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faith, for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even thereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who in his own self bared our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live on the righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Amen. Amen. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. All right, let's do this morning. I'm gonna sing that. Try to sing that. Just worshiping. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles 14. I like worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
I like it, boy. I can't get enough of it. Can't get enough of worshiping Him. Feel His presence. Man, ain't nothing like it. Some people never felt that. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for Christians. Never felt the presence of God. Well, new year, man. New year. New start. New things. This year is going to be something brand new. Every year comes along, something brand new is coming along. They say over in Italy, I don't know how true this is, they say over in Italy, the streets are clear, everything's quiet, and I mean up to 11:40, 11:45, nobody's on the street, nobody doing nothing. And then 11:50, and then 11:55, nothing. And they say, and as soon as the clock hits 12 and it bongs 12 times, they said the windows fly open, people start laughing, they start cheering, they start singing, and then they start throwing stuff out the windows that that's detestable to them. Any pottery they don't like, they throw it out the window. Furniture, everything goes chucking out the window. I said, man, oh man, what a big mess somebody makes. And they said they just want to start out new. They throw everything out, and they just get rid of everything that they don't detestable, anything that they don't like, and they just start out new, and they throw it all out in the street. I just hate to be the one. I was a trash man before, I just hate to be the one that had to go around and pick all that up. Well, you might find some good stuff, change in a couch that they threw out, but something like that, chairs, always got some change in it. But most of the time, like I said, the people throw out stuff that's detestable to them, that they don't like, they don't want, so they get rid of it. But I said, man, that goes on every day in Washington, D.C., my Lord, in every major city in the world, especially in America, you got major cities where trash and everything else. I'll tell you this, I was working on a roof in Washington, D.C., and I was down in, northeast, northwest, somewhere in there. And I was down there, and I'm working on this roof, and all of a sudden I seen two vans pull up. And these people were being evicted. And two vans pulled up, and it was like two 15-passenger vans. And all these people jumped out of the van. I'm on the roof. I looked over. I said, what in the world? And then a sheriff car pulled up. And then the people come out, and they beat on the door and told the people to get out. And I'm sitting there watching the thing. These 15 people in each van ran in that car, in that place, and they unloaded that house within 15, 20 minutes. Everything on the street. Wow. And I asked the people, I said, what's the name of it? What do y'all do? They said, we're evictions. We do evictions. I said, man, I wouldn't want to be that. I wouldn't want to do that. That's the one job I wouldn't want to do, watching people cry and everything. They said, we can have you. They said, our motto is we can have you on the street in 30 minutes or less. The name of the company is called Quick Evic. So I hope you're not being evicted. Amen. All right, take your Bible, look in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. It says, Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Abijah is the son of Rehoboam. And you know that if I preach that three chairs, you got David, you got Solomon, and then you got Rehoboam. And then Abijah, he comes along, and he starts trying to do what's right somewhat. But then about five generations out from David, four generations out from David, you got a young man named Asa. And this guy is a good young man. And God blessed this young man. And, man, he starts out right. He starts out, and, I've seen people start out right in their Christian life. I've seen them get going, serving God, and trying to do what's right. And then I've seen them at the end of their life, they're just nothing. And they just waste their life. And they just go 20 years, 30 years, and they just get mad at God. They get mad at the church. They get mad at everything. Eddie was talking about this morning. He was mad at God for 10 years, and he finally surrendered and got right. And now he's got joy and peace. God restored to him the years locust has eaten, man. And God's taking care of him. So Asa starts out right. In the Bible, look what it says. Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. I mean, brother, the Lord blessed him. He had no war, no nothing going on. And the Lord just took care of him 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. I mean, man, he got rid of any place where people worship not the true God, he got rid of. Any place, anything in his life, he got rid of where people worshiped strange gods or idols or groves. And now, the Catholic Church has idols. They have groves. You ride by, you see people got that are Catholic. You can tell they got a Mary in the front yard, and they got a grove around it and all that stuff. And they, and then, you know, Buddhism, they got a little a Buddha out there, and they put food out there. It's just all kinds of crazy religions of the world. They worship strange gods when there is only one true God. Amen. And they worship, and all these other gods are just satanic appearances or beings or whatever it might be. They worship. And I'm going to tell you something. Here you're sitting in here at church this morning. If you're saved, you know who the true God is. You know who the right God is. I mean, God is God. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And he paid your sin debt. And the Bible says he proved his love. That's why we sing that song. You know, he was guilty of loving you. And God's paid your sin debt. And this guy, Asa, man, he starts out right, and he's doing what's right. And I mean, this guy is on fire. And boy, I love to see young people, older people, when they get saved, get on fire for God. I love to see that. Man, it stirs something inside me. When you get around the fire and you start putting things in, it catches on. And just like coals, you know, you get around people that's on fire, it'll catch you on. It'll get you on fire. And that's what you want to be. You want to try to stay fired up. We always talk about staying fired up. You need to stay fired up. You say, man, the world, man, the pressure of this world, yeah, that's the key. When things are going wrong and when things in your life are bad and things don't look right and you don't know what God wants you to do and all that stuff, and you can still say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, God's good, and keep on serving him and keep on worshiping him in the middle of all the problems and troubles and trials, and the Lord says, see that? That old boy down there, you ain't going to stop him, devil. The world ain't going to stop him. I mean, he don't even trust himself. He's going to keep on serving God. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the way to start the year out. I mean, start out right, but finish right. Most men in the Bible, you'll find them start out right, and they finish wrong. Samson started out right, and he messed up there, and then he finished right, but it cost him his life. And it cost him his life in the end. David started out right, and he messed up a little bit in the middle, and he finished right. Then Hezekiah, man, so on. All kinds of men in the Bible, some of them start out right, and they wanted to finish right. And that's what my message is this morning. How about starting right and then finishing right? How about, I've seen Christians last year say, I'm going to serve God. 2017, man, we're going to start out right. By 2017, by the end of it, they're messed up, and they ain't finishing right. They ain't finishing out the year. We always have a business meeting every year. We have a business meeting to analyze what we've spent, what went out, what did this, and where money came in, all that stuff. We analyze, we go through that thing, and we, you know, Lord's blessed our church where we always end up not in the red, but in the black. Thank God. And as a Christian, we ought to start out right at the beginning of the year, be in church. Don't fall back. Don't backslide. Stay in your Bible on a regular basis, reading your Bible every day, praying every day, singing songs of Zion, having a worship service by yourself, not just in church. Some people say, oh, they're just putting on. I tell you what, I know some people that worship God by themselves. They're not putting on. They're having a time, and they're enjoying God. And you know what? This journey we can go on, this journey we're in, you can enjoy the trip, man. You don't have to endure it. You can enjoy it. I want to enjoy my Christianity. I don't care who thinks what. I don't care if you say, well, he don't mean it. Don't make no difference to me, man. I'm going to keep on enjoying my Christianity. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. Asa starts out right. And this guy, man, the Bible says, look what the Bible says about him. It says, and he took away the altars of the strange gods, verse 3, and high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. And also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places, and the high places where people went and worshipped false gods. At one time, Israel worshipped at one high place, but then now they got the temple built. Everything's in one place. Now, see, I've had people tell me, so you mean to tell me that, you know, there's only one way of salvation? I said, yes, sir, that's only one way. It's not through all religions. All religions lead to the same place. No, they don't. All religions don't lead to the same place. All religions lead to one place that's in hell, all religions don't lead to Jesus Christ, because those religions don't want Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, folks, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says he took away the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities of Judah, for the land had rest. I mean, this guy started preparing place. He knew that down the road, the battle was going to come, trouble was going to come, things were going to happen. So he started building walls around the cities. Because why? For protection. And he started building some walls. And he said, man, I know that one day the war is going to come. The thing's going to happen. God's blessed us in this quiet time. And we don't have no war going on. We're just going to prepare for it down the road. I like what Reagan said. He says, we're going to arm to the teeth. And as a Christian, you ought to be arming yourself when it comes to your Christian walk with God, learning the Word of God, praying. I mean, asking God to help you to put on the shield every day, put on the whole armor of God. Preparing yourself for the day that's going to be trouble. The Bible says that it's going to be trouble down the road. And we don't know what day that might be. The Bible calls it an evil day. You might tomorrow morning, you might wake up and find all kinds of things going wrong. Brother Joe woke up this morning, his family, the heater went out, the hot water was gone, everything was gone, and all kinds of struggles and troubles had happened. And he said, you just got to trust God. You just got to get that place. When things happen like that, you just got to say, I trust you, Lord. I know you're going to take care of it. I mean, you're going to have a time where finances is going to be due. You think, where did that happen? This accident, flat tires, all kinds of junk's going to happen. And you're going to have your mind and your heart set on God. If not, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get defeated, and you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to say, why? What is this? Man, why am I have to always go through something like this? Well, this fella had rest, and he prepared himself for the day when it wasn't going to happen, when the trouble was going to come. He was preparing himself. His name, the Bible says, and he built fenced cities in Judah, and the land had rest. He had no war in those days because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and for he have given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Look what it says. He built and prospered. This guy prepared himself for protection. I mean, he built some walls for protection. I mean, I'll tell you some walls that we ought to build. You ought to build a wall of studying the Word of God and preparing your heart to seek after the Lord. Because you'll find later on in this chapter, the Bible says, he said he wanted a perfect heart. You ought to prepare, put a wall around that heart. Don't let nothing get to it other than God himself and the things of God. I mean, man, because why? Because the Bible says all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it'll get your heart. It'll get your heart. It'll cause you to turn your back on God. If the devil and the world and the flesh get your heart, you'll be gone. You'll be out like most other Christians are gone. They say, what's the use of serving God? What's the use of all this stuff? Why are we having this problem? Well, you need to prepare now. And while the things are good, while things are not happening in your life, you say, well, I got stuff going on in my life right now. There's stuff going on. Well, I tell you what, it still doesn't hurt to start building some walls. Building some walls of moral conduct. Building some walls of moral things in your life where you'd say, God, I know that stuff is wrong from the past, all that junk I used to think about, all that stuff that's out in the world. I'm going to build some walls and keep my mind stayed on thee. You know, the past couple of weeks, I preached on mastering your mind, getting your mind on God, getting your mind straight, keeping your mind straight. And that's what we got to do. You got to get your mind in the Word of God, get your mind stayed on him. And the Bible says he built towers and gates and bars, and the land is yet before us because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he have given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. That's 580,000. And all these were mighty men of valor. I mean, this guy had an army, over half a million men. And there came out against them Zepha, the Ethiopian, with the hosts of 1,000. This guy came with 1,000,000 men. And as Ethiopian came up against him, had 1,000,000 men. Look what he does. Verse 11. I mean, he was outnumbered 2-1. And the Bible says, Asa cried on the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing. I underline this. You ought to underline this in your Bible. It is nothing with thee to help. Yep. Boy, I tell you what, God can help. Yeah. I mean, boy, he's a very present help in a time of need. And thank God he is. Yeah. I've been in that place where I've had need of his help. And I need him every hour, man. I need him every second. And you need him every second. I'm going to tell you something. He said, God is nothing for you to help. Man, I know God can help. I know my folks, I tell you what, people get on Facebook, they get on all kinds of stuff, all kinds of social media, trying to find some help. They call people, they call this, and you ask them, have you prayed? Oh, I pray all the time. I pray all the time. But have you really got on your knees and asked God for help and waited for him?
Yeah.
I mean, have you really got down and said, God, help me. God, help me. Asa was a king. I mean, he was a fifth generation out from David. And he said, man, he said, I'm going to cry out to God. I know God can help. I know God helped my great-grandfather. I know God was able to take care of my great-great-grandfather. And God blessed him. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Don't you know, I know he studied the Psalms of David. He studied about the history of his great-grandfather. And he wanted to be like his great-grandfather. And he said, God, I want your help. I need your help. I'm going to tell you something. If anybody in need of help this morning, let me recommend you a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll help you when you're time of need. I mean, brother, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. God will meet your need if you'll just trust him. And Asa got down. He didn't go to his generals. He didn't go to the people first. He said, God, I know you're able to help me in the time of need. And God, he got down just like Hezekiah, the Bible says, he prayed, and God, he said, God, what Sennacherib has said is right, and he can take us, but God, I know you're in charge. I ask you for your help. You know what God does? He's for Hezekiah. He sent 185,000 men to their grave by one angel coming out and taking care of it. God's able to help you in the time of need. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. God's able, amen. I tell you what, if you don't say amen, I'll say amen myself. Hallelujah. Amen. God's able. Asa cried on the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing. It's nothing for you. I mean, you're sitting here this morning, you said, well, you don't know my need. I'm going to tell you something, God does. He knows where you're at. He knows the hair on your head. He knows everything that you need of. I'm going to tell you something, he knows. And the problem is, you don't want to go to him for it, for your help. And Asa, man, he set his heart at first to seek God. And I'm going to tell you, that's the key. Set your heart to seek God and ask God, show me. I mean, he built some walls in the city. Why? For protection of his family, his children, his people. He built the walls and gates and bars. He did all that for protection. And he said, but God, I know our protection come from you. And the Bible says he cried out to God. And Asa cried on the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power, help us. Gideon, he said, God told Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon looking around, well, who are you talking about? And he says, I tell you what, I've got a battle for you. And he said, and then all these men came out to battle. And the Lord said, that's too many, way too many. And he said, and then finally, you know the story, Gideon had 300. And he goes out to battle and whoops them. I mean, Bible says, there's nothing for God. There's nothing for God to whip with many or just a little. It makes no difference. If a person will seek after God, boy, I tell you what, you'll see some things. Yeah. You'll see some things. You'll see God. You'll see some miracles. You know, I believe we'd have more miracles going on. I'm not talking about like Earl Roberts and all those guys. I'm not talking about that kind of miracle. I'm talking about miracles in our lives of different things happening. I mean, I've seen a bunch of things happen in our lives. Miracles, man. I've seen God do miracles. When people start telling me, oh, you Baptists don't believe in miracles, I said, oh, you shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I've seen miracles God do. God, it wasn't through me slapping people down on the floor and them shaking like a worm in a hot tub. It ain't like that. And boy, I tell you what, God's done some miracles. He's done a miracle in our lives. He's done a miracle in my family. He's done a miracle in our church. I've seen some miracles, man. I believe in miracles. God's able to help. I've seen him help. I've seen him do things. And the Bible says, verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. Now, look what the Bible says Asa did. He says, against, and then back in verse 11, he says, O Lord, our God, in the middle, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. You know what he did? He didn't sit back and say, okay, God, you take care of it. You take care of it, and you whoop them. No, not Hezekiah. In Hezekiah's case, Hezekiah was trapped in a city. He couldn't go out. He couldn't go whoop them. He couldn't go do that. So God sent an angel down. Here, Asa, he had 580,000 men, and he was outnumbered, and he was outgunned. And he said, God, it's nothing for you to win by many or by few. But he said, we're going to go out. We're going to trust you. Even though all the statistics coming back, all the forecasts is coming back saying, ain't no way. Ain't no way you're going to win. He said, we're going to go out. Look what it says. He says, and in thy name We go against this multitude, O Lord, for thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued onto them, on the Gear. And the Ethiopians were overthrown that could not recover themselves. And they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. And they smote the cities around about Gear. And for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was nothing. For there was exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote all the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Now look what happens. This guy comes back, chapter 15. Asa, man, he set his heart. I mean, man, the Bible don't pull no punches about things. It'll tell you straight up if a guy's right, if he ain't. And the Bible says, if you read 1st and 2nd Kings, you read 1st and 2nd Samuel, you read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you read those books, it'll say he set his heart, or he was right with God, and he did evil against the Lord. All those things. Let me tell you something. You find the outcome. If you're a smart person, you read your Bible, and you find the outcome of those that didn't seek God. You find the outcome of those that did seek the Lord. But Asa starts out right. He set his heart, the Bible says, he set his heart to serve God. He notices his background. You got his father's sins, past sins. His mother in chapter 15, look at verse 16. And it says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove and cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. He kicked his mother off the throne. He kicked his own mama. Why? Because he sought the Lord. His own mama said, I'm going to build me a grove. I'm going to worship where I want to, and you ain't going to tell me how to do it, son. And he goes, well, mama, here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your power. You're going to lose your kingdom. And you're going to lose everything. And I'm putting you out. And he puts his own mother out. This guy, man, Jesus said, if a man's not willing to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, and all the world, I mean, he's not worthy of me. And man, there's going to come a time in your own life where your family is going to be a choice between family or God. Amen. It's going to be a choice between doing what's right or doing what's wrong. Man, when I got saved, my family, man, we were messed up. And more, I wanted to do right with all my heart. I wanted to do right. My wife and I wanted to do right. We got married. First thing we did, we got married. We said, we're going to get married, and we're going to do what's right. We're going to raise our kids for God. We wouldn't even let her mother watch our children because of the way her mama lived. We wouldn't let that happen. Man, we were careful about our children. I mean, we talk about building some walls around them. Putting some gates. We were careful about our children, where they went, what they did. And I mean, you say, well, we couldn't do everything. We tried to protect them as much as we could until they got to be teenagers. Then they make the choices. And when they got to be teenagers, they made bad choices. And what we did, we prayed, God, don't let them stay out long. If they do go out, don't let them stay out long. Help them, put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. And you know why? What happened? They didn't stay out long. Now, Josh is the longest one to stay out. And he stayed out. And he didn't get right. Every time he come around, we just loved on him, told him we loved him, and tried to help him, tried to be an encouragement to him. And I knew the Lord was going to bring him back. I told my wife, I said, we laid in bed when I told him he had to get out of the house. I said, son, you got to leave. If you ain't going to serve God, you ain't going to sleep in this house. If you ain't going to go to church, you ain't sleeping in this house. And I said, you're going to have to move. He said, okay, Dad. Just like that, he moved out. We didn't argue. We didn't fight. I just said, that's it. And he went out. My wife and I laid in bed for 3 days crying. And we said, God, you see our tears. God, get a hold of them. Bring him back. Get him back. You got a wayward child. You got a wayward grandchild. You start shedding some tears for him. You start asking God to get a hold of their heart. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God is, he can save by many or by few. Yeah. God's able to bring them back. God's able to protect them and keep them safe. Boy, I'll tell you what. I've got enough confidence in him that I know he can watch over my family when I'm not there. I get on my knees at night. I say, God, watch over my children. I got children in Georgia. I got children in New York. I got children, Lord, my nephews in Virginia. God, watch over and protect them. Even my grandkids, put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Asa gets on the throne. Look what the Bible says. A prophet came out. He's called the seer. In chapter 15, the seer comes out. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. Boy, I tell you what, that'd be good news, wouldn't it? That'd be good news if back in that day when a prophet came out to the king and said, Asa, Asa. And Asa knew he was a prophet. Asa knew he walked with God. And that prophet said, Asa, the Lord's with you. He just wasn't shooting off his mouth. I want the Lord with me. I don't know about you, but starting a new year out, 2018, I want the Lord with me. You know what? The New Testament, thank God for the New Testament. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus Christ allow the Holy Ghost of God to indwell us and stay in us. That's why the Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God which is in you, what you have of God. I mean, you got somebody living inside you that's bigger than the universe if you're saved. Somebody bigger than the universe is living in there. It's called the Holy Ghost. And boy, it's a blessing when the Holy Ghost to God starts, when you start worshiping Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost gets stirred up inside you and the Holy Ghost goes, God is with you. And boy, I'll tell you what, you know it when God ain't. Now I know he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know that. But look what he says. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would come upon people, but they would leave them. Now, you and I, since we got saved in the New Testament, that's why Jesus Christ died, he's inside you. He's sealed to the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost is in me. He's in you. He's sealed in there. He sees what you see. He touches what you touch. I don't know how true that is. That'd be terrible. I don't know how true that would be. The Holy Ghost is in there, I know that. I don't know if he touches what you touch. But my. Asa walks up, and the Spirit of God comes upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. How would you like that? Here we are in the New Testament. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God, always. You can't lose him. And Asa, look what Asa, it says, now for a long season, check this out, this verse. This is an astounding verse. For a long season, Israel have been without the true God. And without a teaching priest, without the law. So from David to Asa, about five generations, it says they were without the true God and without teaching priest and without the law. I've been studying about David and about Saul. Saul never attempted one time to go get the Ark of the Covenant. He never attempted. I never found, other than when Saul first gets anointed, he prophesies. But no time after that do I hear about Saul worshiping God. It scares me about Christians that never, ever have a worship time or praise God or give him glory in their lives. That scares me. It should scare them. But he says they were without a true God. You know what? You can never be without a true God. If he's your Savior, he's always with you. But whether you recognize him as your Savior, whether you brag on him, talk about him, worship him, give him praise, that's another thing. It says without a teaching priest. Have you ever thanked God that you're in America, that you can go to a Bible-believing church that still preaches the Word of God? You can come to a church that still worships and praises and gives God and stand up and shout and give him glory and tears run down your face That you can feel this presence. You know what? We take that for granted. Man, people go to church every Sunday, never feel nothing. There's no singing. There's no real worship in the songs. There's no real praise in their singing. People, I've had people tell me, they come to church here and they look around and go, wow, people are really lifting up their voice in here. People are really singing. You know, most churches in America, we're supposed to be, you know, God is on our side. We're supposed to be that way, but here we are. You ever thank the Lord for it? I've had people go by different churches, they come back and they say, preacher, you wouldn't believe the church I went to. Wow. I mean, I'm mad people left here probably thought, well, you wouldn't believe that church. I saw that thing, that video they put on the YouTube. They've over two and a half million hits. And of when Bro jumps in the baptismal pool, and we took off running and everything, and there's people commenting saying, oh, there's a bunch of crazy white people. And David Kahn called me up, and he said, preacher, I was disputing with these people. Over 10,000 people are running down our church. They said, a bunch of crazy people in there. I said, David, you ain't got to do that. Don't worry about it. I said, man, as long as we know what it was.
Amen.
We know what it was. We can enjoy it. Most people go to church, they never see somebody get excited. When Michael Payton ran down here and took his coat and wrapped it around Earl Hughes' head. And Earl Hughes is laughing and giggling. And there he's just, and Earl Hughes couldn't even talk that night after the service. He came up to me, he said, I had a good time in church tonight, brother. You ever thank God and come to church? You know, what a blessing. Asa says, as the prophet said, for a long season, or the scripture says, Israel have not without a true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. Wouldn't it be something if Donald Trump went to a church that believed the Bible, preached the Bible? Now, I saw his Christmas message. His Christmas message, he was talking about the virgin birth. He was talking about Jesus Christ going to come back in Isaiah chapter 9. He said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I thought that was pretty good for a president to do. But wouldn't that be a blessing to see Donald Trump and his wife, Yvonne, or whatever her name is,
Melania,
come to this church and stand up and wave their hands and praise God? Wouldn't that be something? When I was in Pensacola going to Bible school, there was a man there. His name was Brother Camp. And Brother Camp got saved. He was about 60s. He married a woman in her 30s. But he was rich. He had money. That's why he married her. And he was rich, but he got saved. He was the vice president of Merrill Lynch. And here was the vice president, Merrill Lynch, going to Bible Baptist Church. Bunch of street preaching, you know, shouting, running the aisles, crazy people, the way the world looked at it, and still do. And here, Brother Camp and his wife, she's real dignified. She came up to me when Rachel was being born, Linda was in the hospital. They drove Mercedes. They had a couple houses. They had a house on the beach. They had a beautiful mansion. They had a butler. They had a maid. She had a nanny. And she had all that stuff. And she came over to me one day. And I was sitting back in. Linda was in the hospital. And she came up to me. She said, Brother Allen. She's crying. Brother Allen, Lord laid on my heart to come to your house and fix your dinner tomorrow night and fix your breakfast before you go to work. I said, I go to work at 6. She said, but Lord laid on my heart, I'll be there. I'm thinking, I live in a shack. And you're going to come to my house? I said, no, I'm fine. And Dr. Ruttman walked by, and I said, he goes, and she's crying. He goes, what's going on? I said, she wants to come to my house, fix my meal. And he goes, let her do it. I said, our washing machine don't even work half the time. I come home. I felt bad. I get out, walk out in the morning. She pulls up in the Mercedes. We lived in we lived in a bad neighborhood. And we had an old shack. And she gets out. She got to take care of the kids. They had Samson, Ruth, and then Rachel was just been born. And she says, I'll take care of the kids. Linda was still at the hospital. And I come home. I felt like a dirty dog. I come home, and she's sitting at the table, had all the food, kids sitting there. She ironed all our clothes. even our underclothes. I felt embarrassed. And she did that for 3 days. I couldn't wait to get rid of her. Just couldn't wait. And, man, but I appreciate what she did. She had everything herself. I watched him in the service one night. Brother Cam, place got wild. And I watched him and his wife stand on top of the pew, weeping and crying and waving her hands, going, "Woo, glory!" And him take off running down the aisle. And I thought, boy, wouldn't Merle Lynch love to see him right now? I'm going to tell you something. You're missing out. You're missing out. People think, well, I got to be dignified. Stiff upper lip. I'd love to see some of you folks when you get to heaven. You walk into heaven, you're going to have a fit. You're going to come ugly. That's why you got to have a brand new body. If you didn't have a brand new body, you would explode. People talking about that lottery thing. You know, $450 million, almost half a billion dollars. You can win. Say, were you tempted? Nope. Wasn't tempted. I got more than that.
Amen.
All that do is complicate your life. The Bible says, Asa, when Asa heard these words, look what the Bible says. In the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Ephraim. You know, Ephraim was always in idols. And renewed the altar of the Lord. You know that says he renewed the altar of the Lord. There ought to be some things. This is a new year. There ought to be a new renewing of the altar of the Lord in your heart. I know troubles and trials wear you out. But if you can stay on the altar and renew it and keep that thing hot, keep that altar hot in your life. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things won't choke the word of God in you because the altar is hot and God's being worshiped. What happens to young people? They think, well, when I turn 18, I'll show you. I'll go out. I'll make it in this world. I'll prove you. By the time you're 25, I ran into a young man yesterday. His parents went to church in Frederica. Brother Eric knows him. The Prisons. I ran into the son, youngest son. Him and his brother, they both went their own ways. I ran into, his name is Jonathan Prison. And I'm got my coveralls on and everything. He's working at the auto zone. And I'm in there trying to find something. I'm on my knees down here looking at something. He comes over and says, can I help you? And I looked up. I got my hoodie on and everything. He goes, preacher. I said, yeah, man, I'm trying to find something. And I said, how you doing, bro? I said, how was your Christmas? His teeth about rotted out from the crack. I said, you're the same age as my daughter Rachel, ain't you? About 37. He made his choice. I seen him at Bob Evans one day, me and Jesse and a couple of us. I said, you don't work Bob Evans? He said, no, I haven't seen him in a while. Oh, he's going to set the world on fire. That's what most young people think. They're going to set the world on fire. I'm going to tell you something. You don't seek God, you'll burn.
Yeah, come on.
You'll crash and burn. And you'll blame everybody else for your problems. And when you finally get to the place where you don't blame nobody else for your problems, then you can get help. I hugged him. I stood up and hugged him. I said, boy, anytime you want to come home, come on home. I'll pick you up. The Bible says that Asa, now we haven't even got to the place where I wanted to get, but it says that he says he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and strangers with them out of Ephraim, Manasseh, out of Simeon. So they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. All these other tribes, that northern tribes went astray. They went after Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was afraid of losing them. So he built other altars to strange gods. He made a calf. He had all that stuff. He built all these different altars. And the 10 northern tribes went with him. And those that wanted to know the real God started coming back to Judah. They started coming back to Asa. And they said, we heard God's with you. I'm going to tell you something. God will send people to you. God, you know what God did with my family? My family watched me for years. And my family said, we know that's real. Yeah. We've been watching you for years. We've watched you. My mama got saved. My daddy got saved. All my family got saved. Ma, I tell you what a greater joy than knowing your family's all saved. I know I'll see them again. It says, and gather all Judah. Look on down, verse 10. We'll stop with this. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem. In the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, he had 20 years, no wars. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. Boy, you talking about an offering. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Bro, I tell you what, they made a covenant. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells you don't make a vow and don't keep it. If you make a vow to God and you don't keep it, it's trouble. It'll be trouble. But they go into a covenant with the Lord. They said, Lord, look what the Bible says in verse 13, that whosoever would not seek capital punishment, the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, both small and great, whether man or woman. And they sware on the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, cornet. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. And they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole heart, the whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest around about. And that's when he kicks his mother out. And it says in verse 17, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated. And he humbled himself. He himself had dedicated silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And we don't have time to cover that, where Asa goes wrong and gets mad at God. It's going to come down to time in your life where God's going to try you. And you're going to say, why? And Asa ends up getting mad. He did something wrong. Instead of getting it right, like David, when Nathan came in and said, David, you're the man, David fell on his face, asked God to forgive him. Here, Asa doesn't get mad. He doesn't get right. He gets mad. And you know what? I heard Doc say this. He said, a lot of times it happened in a man's life. Near the end of his life, his older age, he starts getting bitter at God because his health. I started seeing that with Doc a little bit. And he says, Doc said to me a couple times, why don't the Lord take me home? Why don't the Lord take me home? But what happens, he said this. He said, a man in the end of his life better be careful because God's blessed him. He'll get near the end of his life, and he'll get bitter. Christian, I don't want to get bitter. I want to get better. Amen. As a Christian, you all want to get better. Asa sought the Lord and made a covenant. It says that he built the altar and renewed it. I'd say this morning, maybe there's some altars that need to be renewed. Why don't we? Here's the first Sunday of 2018. There can be some renewal. Say, Lord, don't let me finish this year like I did last year if it's bad, or the year before. I want to start right. I want to finish right. Amen. Amen.